just thank you everybody for all the prayers. Really appreciate all the prayers, love. Thank you so much. And it's very much of the, we've been sharing a little bit about the power of love. And I think our Lord has introduced us as a church family into this in a way that it's amazing. So let's open in prayer. Father, first of all, we come as your children, learning to live loved by you and learning to live loving and to truly love living. So we want to thank you as by your Holy Spirit you share with us the exciting things on your heart. Lord Jesus, as you make us so aware of what you are doing, and we get excited to know that we're part of something that you are establishing, you are building, you are doing. And because you're the one that is doing it and we're part of that as we participate with you, we know that this is your kingdom that has eternity to it. It's everlasting. What you are establishing, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And so we want to thank you that we can be on a winning side, your winning team, Lord Jesus. All of us are part of that, and we want to just celebrate where we can be on this earth here to be involved with something that is so victorious, so life-giving, and we just honor you for that. So this morning, Father, we come and we want to, first of all, just bring our nation to you. And Lord, in all the situations that we are facing, one thing that we know that you have called us, your family, to be a witness, to be an example, to be a light, to be a testimony, to be the body of your Son Jesus. And this is what you are helping us to grow into like never before. And this we commit ourselves into your process by your Holy Spirit as you lead, as you guide us through your Son Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Great. Okay, guys. Greg was sharing quite a bit last week on the kingdom of God. And we want to continue this morning where we're wanting to sort of catch up, or not catch up, maybe it is, but to be able to see what our Lord Jesus is busy doing at this time with us, and the incredible participation that you and I have, and it's something so beautiful and awesome. We have been looking at over the period of time, and when we look back, we will begin to see that over the months now, where he started to teach us about the reality of what it is to have our life in him, being set free from the power of sin, because the power of sin has a manifestation to it, has a fruit to it, as evidence to that, and that is the sinful nature. And we, as a new creation in Christ, there's a power, the law of the Spirit of life, that also has a fruit to it. It has a manifestation, and that is the nature of God, the righteousness of God. It's the incredible the nature. As we see the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And as we're looking at all of this, we see there that when Jesus spoke to his disciples in John chapter 13, and he gave them that new command, which we understand and we are growing in that more and more, and he says there, a new command I give you, to love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And so here Jesus again is establishing something that is going to set his disciples apart from the rest of humanity. He's establishing something that is going to allow people to be able to recognize that we actually belong to God. We are his children because we are reflecting, we are manifesting the nature of our Heavenly Father. And so that's what Jesus is busy establishing. And remember that when God created man, we are created in God's image. And therefore within man, there is this perfect love of God in man, because that's how we were created. Obviously, the fall came, and then this perfect love that is distorted by the power of sin. And we see history, the evidence of history, clearly illustrating the reality of broken love, of this love that is distorted and has been empowered by sin. And that now God comes and he makes this new creation in Christ Jesus, and he's the one that put his spirit in us, so that he poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And that is why now as children of God, you and I have the incredible uniqueness where we, as children of God, we now have got his love in us, so that as we love one another, we are now uniquely different people. We are no longer displaying the evidence of that original sin. We are now displaying the reality that we are truly children of God. We've got a Heavenly Father. You see? And that's why everybody will know that we are disciples of Jesus, because Jesus is the Son of God. And now with our new nature, we are illustrating the evidence that we are in Christ Jesus and that we have been born again. We are children of God. And so we see that. So when Jesus speaks to his disciples in John chapter 14, John chapter 15 and 16, and so many times he's speaking about love, and we've gone through a little bit of that over there, but he goes on and he says over there, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. And if you keep my command, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this," and he gives once again, our Lord gives what his command is, "love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for one's friends." And then he carries on and he says, "This is my command, love each other." And so once more over here, we see here that where there's a body of Christ, you and I, in a community, the thing that marks us, the thing that makes us stand out, is the incredible love of God that has been poured into us, and now you and I are able to love one another as Christ loves us. That is the testimony, the witness that is evident in a community. And this is what I see our Lord is busy doing here in our communities, where we are finding the increase, we are finding the reality of this love is marking us, is separating us, so that when Jesus speaks about a holy people, when he speaks about a kingdom of priests, when he speaks about this incredible royal priesthood, like never before, you and I are in this privileged position to be able to stand out in that truth, to live in the reality of that truth. And this is going to play a big role as we continue in the Great Commission, because we're not like the world in where people cannot see the difference. People can see the difference because of the ability that we have by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the law of the Spirit working to be able to love one another. But I just need to drink a bit of water all the time. So in this, one of the things that we begin to see over here is that when Paul writes to the church in Corinthians about the spiritual gifts, and we see over there that he speaks about the gifts, and we all know that he carries on, but he says, I will show you a more excellent way. And then he starts to introduce the reality of this love. And this is such a profound truth here, because when we as a body of Christ, remember, Paul is not speaking to an individual only. He's speaking to the body of Christ. The New Testament is written to the body of Christ. So it's not just an individual. And so all the time we've got to understand that when he's speaking, it's the body of Christ that he's busy dealing with over there. But obviously, as individual, there's applications to us all the time, as each and every one of us does our part and grows. But he goes on and he speaks and he says, if I speak in tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So this is part of what's happening now, is that we as the family of God in a community, we as believers, we are starting to understand our true identity. Because love gives us our true identity. Love is our mandate, not the gifts. And this is what's happening, is that the body of Christ, years, I think for a few years, in our growing, in our maturing process, as the Holy Spirit has been leading, many times we're looking for reason, we're looking for purpose, and we're looking at the abilities we have, we're looking at the giftings, we're looking at the talents, we're looking at our human abilities, etc., and what we have obtained, etc., to give us a sense of identity. But in the process, our Lord has been helping us to find what it is to live in the law of the Spirit of life. And we have found now that we no longer have that as our identity. We are children of God. We have His love in us. We're being established in love. And because we are walking in love, we are no longer a nothing. You see, because we are his children, we are manifesting that we are his disciples. And the body of Christ, us as believers, we are becoming established in our identity as, when John writes there, how good is the love of God that he's poured, his love upon us, that we should be called children of God, and that's who we are. We have his very seed, you see. And so now as children of God, we are manifesting, because we're now living in the power of the Holy Spirit, we've got the law of the Spirit of love operating within us. Now the nature of God, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, is manifesting more and more and more. So we've grown in this love. There's this power of this love. There's this authority of this love that we are now walking in more than what we've ever walked in before. And what's so exciting is that, you know, all of you, you're incredible examples. It's not like we're starting from scratch over here. All of you are pretty mature in this journey of love and that. And it's so important, because there's two areas that Satan has focused on. And that is this area of this God love and the area of the Great Commission. And that, and when we started this on love there, we started off with that scripture of the Great Commission, because you will see how this love is dealing with the sonship. And so that's why now, once we begin to find that our true identity is established in this love of God for us and our love for others, and the more we find that we are loving, the more we are finding we are being established in that true identity as children of God, manifesting the very nature of our Heavenly Father, showing ourselves to be disciples, and that. And so when Paul writes over there that if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal, that no longer, that's why as a family, as a body of Christ in a community, we're not this gong, we're not this noise, we're not just emptiness, we're not this nothingness. We've got the substance, this nature of God in us, manifesting God himself, and there's a voice, there's a sound, there's a identity. So we don't have identity in opinions of man and the opinion of the world. We're not caught up into all of that anymore. That's still as baby Christians. No, we've been established in our true identity. And that's a joy that's many now, when you involved, is part of us growing more and more in love. We are also now able to teach the new believers how to walk in love, how to find their identity truly in God in the context of this love that is poured into our hearts and who we are. And so as we look at this a little bit deeper, Paul writes and he speaks in Galatians chapter 6. And remember Galatians 5, again, it's about life in the Spirit. It's the law of the Spirit of life. It's about keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. It's about our old humanity being crucified, the passions and the desires have been crucified in Christ Jesus. And so now we can live by the Spirit, and so the fruit of the Spirit is our reality as part of our new nature as we participate in the union with the Holy Spirit. And in all of this, he then speaks and he says to the guys that if anyone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. And that's evidence of love, because love covers, remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So here we're starting to see something more about this love that we're looking at over here this morning. And it carries on over there, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Then it says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And so we're starting to see here now that as a family of God in a community, as each and every one of us have been carrying one another's burdens. See, carrying one another's burdens is the same as saying, love one another as I have loved you. That's what it's all about. And that's why Paul writes in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? A new commandment I give unto you, to love one another as I have loved you. And so as you and I, as we are in the crisis of COVID, in the crisis of all that's taking place over there, as we rise up, as we are rising up more and more in carrying one another's burden by this love that's in us, we are fulfilling the very law of Christ Jesus. And that's the reality when Jesus says, as we obey the command, we live in the reality of being loved by the Father. We remain in His love, but His love is being made complete through us. And that's what brings us into a place of tremendous fulfillment and tremendous, that's why if you're wanting to find out your mandate, it's pretty simple. It's to love. And as we are involved in loving and the gifts flow out of that, your abilities and etc. all flow out of that over there. But as we just love, with this love that we're speaking about over here, we begin to find a tremendous sense of fulfillment going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That if I speak, I don't have love, I'm a resounding gong, but let's put love in there. If I speak from a heart of love, man, I'm a sound that brings life. See, turn it around a bit. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have faith, and then I can move mountains, but I'm so full with this love of God in me for Him and for people, man, I'm a child of God. I'm manifesting and making people see that I'm a disciple of Jesus. See, suddenly it's things change. There's a huge sense of identity, of purpose that's being established. If I give all I possess to the poor, and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I have this incredible love in me. God has poured His love, and as I carry one another's burdens, I gain everything. See, the opposite there, I gain nothing. I gain everything. Suddenly you're participating with the incredible life of Jesus, because the very core of God's love is that it is full of life. That's why when Jesus speaks, say, in John chapter 3, and the quote's over there, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. The very purpose of God's love is to give life. The very purpose of you and I loving somebody is to release life into that person's situation. We see that again in 1 John chapter 4. Well, you can go through the 1 John chapter 1 through to chapter 5. It's full of this there. This is how God showed His love amongst us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we may live through Him. So when we are now looking at how do we carry one another's burdens, we are realizing that we're looking at this love And this love releases life. That's how you know which is the love of God and which is not the love of God. Because so when you go through that 1 Corinthians 13, for instance, there, look at it now as seeing that as the life that is being released. Just as when you and I, we can give whatever and we've got full of love, all of a sudden we gain everything because we're participating in life. We're flowing in that law of the spirit of life, and that's why we have everything. That's why we've got identity, we've got reason, we've got purpose. We love to live because now we're operating in life. And that's the Great Commission in the context of loving one another as I have loved over you. Because the Great Commission now is wherever we go, we're releasing life. So one more scripture over here. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul prays an amazing prayer. And this is very much relevant for us now. And he says, and this is my prayer. Now, the background here is that Paul is writing to the family of God in Philippia. And they are known for their love, just like you and I. You are known for your love. It's tangible. All of us, I know as a family, we've experienced the reality of your love. And I know many people in this community and the communities that you are in there, in Vereeniging van der Bijl, Pringle Bay, Joburg, wherever it may be, many, many are experiencing this love that is inside of us, this love that God has poured in us by His Holy Spirit. Many now, because we are no longer slaves to unrighteousness, we are slaves to righteousness, because we are learning to live in the reality of our new creation in Christ Jesus, the evidence. When Jesus says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples, Jesus says, if you love one another as I've loved you, people will know that you are my disciples. That's why this is so crucial as we now are growing in this like never before. And circumstances are almost like a birthing place for us in the growth of this love. So that in a community, in a workplace, in a school, wherever we are, have been placed, the believers, and that's why I think it's so important now that the believers in the workplace, the believers there in the schools where you are, the believers now start to come together and start to learn this truth there, so that in a school, wherever we may be, This kingdom of priests, this incredible handiwork of God, us in Christ Jesus, we shine, we have an influence, we're touching people's lives, we are relevant, and so that's the context that Paul is really dealing with there. And so in verse 9 he says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And this is a prayer that I think it's for you and I to pray this prayer, for you and I to be able to really let this prayer become quite a life conversation with God at this time. as we are no longer, in a sense, hidden. And when I use the word hidden, we are no longer hidden in the humanity of the fallen nature of man. We have been taken out of that. We are no longer hidden in that. We don't participate in that anymore. We are now hidden in Christ. And that life of His is shining. Now, as part of the Great Commission, we have faced many, many situations of looking at something and asking ourselves now, this love of God releases life. How will it release? Lord, give us the knowledge and depth of insight. So now we are able to discern what is best here. What is the pure way? What is the blameless way? How do we now deal with a community of people that we may say, well, Lord, why don't you just wipe them out kind of stuff? You know, the old way we used to all think years back, eh? But now we're coming and we say, Lord, we're involved with a great commission. Here in the believers, first of all, at the family of God, how do we care? How do we love one another so that the unsaved can see the difference? They can see what this love's all about. They can see what children of God, they can see that we belong to our Father. It's the evidence. It's so they can see that. How do we display that more and more? How do we grow in this more and more? And this is going to be part now of when we get together in the small groups and the discussions and all that there is to stir one another up in this love now and to look at ways on how to be able to shine in the area of love for one another. And grow in this area. And so that's why this prayer. And so as I conclude over here, I want to pray this prayer. And then we're going to just have the communion time and just receive and reflect and thank God for His love and also pray for one another. Thank, it's Paul prays and he's so grateful to God for the family of God that loves. And that's the whole context of this letter in Philippians. So Father, we come as your children this morning. We come as your genuine children. Where in your Son, you've released us from that old Adamic nature. And you've put your nature in us. You put your Holy Spirit as a guarantee, as a deposit. And by the Holy Spirit, He testifies that we are your children, Father. And what a joy that with the law of your Holy Spirit operating in us, the fruit is your nature. What a joy that in a community, in a town, in a workplace, wherever you placed us, Lord, we can learn the joy, as you said, this makes our joy complete as we love one another, and that we can abound more and more as you now teach us, as you show us, and by your Holy Spirit, as we come together, and maybe we will call it love creative rooms, where we come and we become creative in the area of loving one another, creative in the area of loving a community. Begin to allow your Holy Spirit to inspire and take us beyond our own imaginations in the area of this love of yours. And to be able to then see a community become your children. So we want to thank you as you teach us the Great Commission from the area of this love, as you establish us in this love, as we grow and we come in agreement with Paul, and we ask that our love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. May we be able to discern the way of life. May we be able to discern the way of life. Thank you that you have set us free from the way of judging, condemning, and coming to the place now where we can now carry one another's burdens. And that's life-giving. What a joy to be able to carry one another's burdens so that life is released. Father, this we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And as we have communion, we want to thank you, Lord, that you have made us this new creation. And through the incredible blood of yours that has cleansed us and continuously cleanses us from all sin, we want to thank you for your body that was broken so that we may now partake in your very divine nature as children of God. So we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.